Welcome to the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church Podcast, where two pastors process the context of church and the practice of discipleship. Today on the podcast, Ted and I continue our introduction to spiritual gifts. There are several places in the New Testament that list spiritual gifts, and today we're covering probably the most prominent one, 1 Corinthians 12. We don't believe this is an exhaustive list of every gift we can receive from the Spirit, but the list is nonetheless helpful in illustrating the purpose of these gifts, which is the unification and building up of the body and the glorification of God. Ted and I also talk new recipes, and we have a little fun with an online spiritual gifts assessment. Thank you for joining us. This is episode 31. You cooked anything interesting lately? Anything new?
Oh.
What have you been making?
Cooking.
Or man. Sue. Has Sue cooked anything
cooking.
New?
Cooking. Yeah, Sue, my wife, thank the Lord. I always told her, I said, you know, I'm so grateful to God that blessed you with cooking, because if it was left up to me, it would have been McDonald's diet, you know, or something. I'd gone takeout. And over the years, I mean, for me cooking, I can cook eggs and you know, bacon and grits and toast, and Sue's helped me be able to get all that hot at the same time and serve it at the same time. So That's a real skill set.
Yeah.
Recently, she made gluten-free pumpkin-flavored waffles.
Okay, pumpkin waffles.
Pumpkin waffles, and they were wonderful.
Wow, cool.
Delicious. She really knocked it out of the park with that one.
So she's making breakfast.
She's making breakfast items, that kind of thing. She does other stuff too, dinner, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
So encouraging her in that realm. I haven't gotten to the love that she has for quinoa.
Oh, okay.
But she likes quinoa.
She's into quinoa right
in
now.
Quinoa, but I'm not into quinoa.
It's pretty good for you.
But it's supposed to be really great for you, yeah. Good for you. You know, you can sneak it in if you mix it in with your oatmeal and disguise it. You know, and put enough maple syrup in your oatmeal, you know,
I haven't had it for breakfast, but, quinoa. I like it. It's kind of like a rice replacement. It can be like a rice replacement, you know, if you do like stir fry instead
of
rice.
That kind of thing. So,
yeah.
So she's branching out on that, which is good. That's awesome.
What about Jason? Has he had any experiments?
Yeah, Jason, he gets an experience. Well, they start talking recipes, and it's like when they both talk education and school. I just kind of like gradually slip away and into my music room and the music world and just let them enjoy. But that's good for them, and that's great. Yeah, he hasn't cooked lately. He helps. He's you know, he's done helping with prepping with Sue, like help make the salad or those kind of things.
Okay.
So,
but
have you cooked anything lately, new?
Yeah, what's new? I mean, I pretty much cook every day. I cook dinner every day and make sure Ashley has lunch.
I'm so proud of you. I don't know how you do it.
I've been eating a lot more meat. I don't really like meat that much. I just stay a lot more full. And so since Ashley and I have been, we've been losing some weight, I found like meat is really helpful for that. It's really hard to stay full without that like protein.
Yeah, that protein, they say that's supposed
I know there's plant-based ways to do it, but I've noticed a big difference in since we've been eating more chicken and just more beef. And so, yeah, a lot of slow cooker meat stuff I've been doing. I did make some like Thai curry tofu balls, or like meatballs, but with tofu instead recently. Ashley got this really, really good deal on an air fryer, like a basket air fryer.
Yeah.
And we were going to give it as a gift to our mother and father-in-law. And I knew immediately they were not going to want it. But, but we got like $200 off of the thing. So we ended up paying like $60 for it, I think.
Yeah, that's great.
And so anyway, I've been using it a lot, actually, to make tofu, even just cubes or things like that. Make chicken in there. You know, you've like flatten out the chicken and air fry it, and
air fry it
comes out really good. But I made some tofu balls that were like sort of honey glazed, and those are really good. That's a new thing that we made. Made some creamy lentils. I don't know. That was kind of a just okay. Oh, and I made some salmon patties. So I never cook fish in the house because we don't have an outdoor grill, and everything smells like fish if you cook fish in the house. I'm sure someone has a solution, but I have not discovered it yet. So anytime I cook fish, it's awful. Everyone's upset. So I almost never do it. But I saw this recipe for these Greek salmon patties, and I wanted to try it. So I bought some salmon, and, you know, you put it in the food processor, you break it up really small and put a bunch of stuff in it and make these patties. And as usual, the whole house smelled awful. And so I probably wouldn't do it again. But they tasted really good. I really liked it.
Oh, that's great.
Made like a cream, like yogurt and lemon sort of sauce, you know, with that went with it. I thought they were great. Ashley was just so on them, but she doesn't love fish.
Oh.
And everyone was disappointed that the house smelled. So, yeah, probably wouldn't make that again.
Yeah, don't make it like fish again.
That's what I've been doing the last couple of weeks. I really like cooking. I like doing stuff with my hands, you know. I like making stuff.
She did make some. She substituted, you know, for gluten-free noodles, like, you know, lentil noodles.
Okay.
Noodles that were made out of lentils.
Hmm.
You know, that was like, okay, that took a while. They were a little more chewy to me. I was like, they're a little more chewy. I don't know. You know, I said, well, have you covered enough with, you know, spaghetti sauce, tomato sauce, whatever? You won't know, but it's a little chewy.
She's trying to cut out gluten then?
Yeah, she's working on that a little bit.
Yeah.
In steps and stages.
Okay. So we've been talking about spiritual gifts on the podcast. We're planning to do that some more for the next couple of months at least.
Absolutely.
And last episode, we didn't mention the lists, really, of gifts. We talked a little bit about how, you know, the main thing is that God equips us differently. And these lists are not exhaustive lists, but they can be really instructive to think of what are the ways that God can use me. But you shouldn't ever limit yourself to these lists. I mean, he can use you beyond them, just like the fruit of the Spirit isn't limited to seven things. But those are really good things to focus on. It's kind of the same way with spiritual gifts. So we're going to get into one of the list passages today. But I thought we would start with something a little fun. So Ted and I, over the course of our ministries, have taken all kinds of different spiritual gift assessments and tests. Some of them are better than others. I'll just be frank. Some of them ask you questions where it's very obvious what the questions connect to. If you take a test that's more difficult to parse, but you sort of feel like, okay, yeah, I definitely am going into one or more zones. Those tests usually have to pay for those, and those are usually a little more accurate, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But we took a free assessment online, and they had they have like 20 something on their list.
They
I'm not sure
list.
What list they're using, but
yeah.
we answered 60 questions. I asked Ted to answer the questions. I answered the questions, and then we wanted to see what gifts we came up with. Well, before you say anything, what was your experience taking the assessment? How did you feel as you did it?
Well, it's like when you first asked me, it's like, oh man, here's another assessment that we got to take.
I told Ashley, I was like, Ted's going to hate doing it.
Yeah. I said, I don't know if I want to do this. This is like, why is we doing this? I said, well, okay, we'll do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it wasn't that bad, actually.
Okay.
This assessment, you know, on the 60 questions, it was like, oh, okay. And part of me, the flesh side of Ted said, am I going to throw this whole thing off? You know, because I know how to read through them.
That's right. You can do it.
I just know. And it,
throw it off.
The instruction says should take 5 minutes and just go, you know, just go right through it. Boom, 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 boom. So that's what I tried to do.
It's tricky because especially it's like any sort of personality assessment. There's a way that you feel like you should be, and then there's the way that you really are.
Yeah.
And so, and with spiritual gifts, all of them are things we should do. And so when you read the list, it's like, okay, well, I want to put 5 out of 5 for this, but is that really, you know, because all of them sound like
good things. Because it was 1 through 5. And
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, let me be honest. You know?
Yeah. It was a little tricky.
Yeah, it was a tricky in that sense. But it was good, I think, overall.
So what we're going to do is...
It was harmless a little bit.
It was harmless.
I didn't come out of it, you know, feeling like I need therapy.
Okay, good. So, I'm glad. Similarly, I didn't. I felt a little triggered, but not from this test. It was more from just all of the times I've had to do it in the past.
Absolutely, in the past.
And where I've done it. And then you sort of get, it's just like any personality test. You kind of get labeled. And you're like, okay, well, this is who I am then. And that can be really uncomfortable. First of all, it can be accurate, but it can also be... It's not the whole picture. You know what I mean?
Don't, and I'd say don't allow the labels, or like if you say, oh, well, Because I've had people say, well, I can't do that because that's because not I'm my gift.
Exactly.
And don't allow that
yeah.
to keep you from honoring God in yeah. your life.
It's fine. It can be good and healthy to recognize, okay, I'm naturally gifted at this, or God's gifted me this, and these other areas I'm weaker in. That can be really helpful in a job because you can try to lean into your strengths. But also, exactly what you said, you have to be willing to go into a space where you're not comfortable. God yes. does amazing things in those yes. spaces. So yes. you shouldn't just say no because you're bad at it or because yeah. you scored low on the
right on the test.
Yeah. We were talking to somebody, I won't say his name, the other day, and he was saying, anytime somebody needs mercy, I'm the worst person because I've taken all the tests. Every time I take the test, I score single digits. Mercy's the lowest thing I ever have. You know,
that's right.
And he's just like, that's the way I'm wired.
That's right.
I'm direct. I'm not merciful. So I find somebody else who's merciful.
Yeah.
And, you know, which is great. You can lean on others.
Yeah.
But also, sometimes God's going to be working on you to show mercy.
Show a little bit more mercy. Yeah, you know, that's right. I mean? Hey, so-and-so, come over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. They need some mercy and I don't want to give it to them. That kind of thing.
Okay. Anyway. So Ted and I are going to guess. Yep. We get a top five. You get a five, one through five.
Okay.
So I'm going to take a minute and I'm going to go through and try to guess the five. See how many I can get right. The five that Ted scored highest in, and he's going to do the same for me. Well, I circled five. I don't know, Ted. I feel like a lot of them could apply to you. So it's like, what did you score highest on? How are you feeling? When did you take the test? Were you hungry? Did you have your coffee?
I know, especially. Well, it was late at night and I didn't have my coffee, but you know, we prayed before I took the test. We asked the Lord, okay, help me be honest and faithful.
Okay. You know? Well, thank you for taking it seriously, even though mostly I just did this for fun. So
it is fun.
I'm going to try to guess your five, all right?
Okay,
I'm just going to list the five that I've circled, and you tell me how many of them I got.
Okay.
All right. This is in no particular order.
Okay.
I have mercy. I have pastor/shepherd, discernment, faith, and word of knowledge.
Ooh.
Did I get any?
Yeah, you did. You got one.
I got one out of five?
One out of five.
Which one did I get?
Because maybe I threw it all. Faith.
I got faith.
You got faith.
Okay.
Yeah.
The gift of faith, the divine strength or ability to believe in God for unseen supernatural results.
Yeah.
All right, so I was pretty off then. I only got one.
No, I liked your list. Can I have your list?
I
like that.
These are the things I think of you as being good at.
Yeah,
so
no,
I don't
that's
know.
Good. I resonate with all those. You know, that's the thing. When you've walked with the Lord, and blessed be his holy name, his faithfulness, you know, the scripture says his mercies are new every morning. Greater mm-hmm. is his faithfulness. God's faithfulness, and when you've walked with Jesus, he keeps pouring out your Holy Spirit, and he keeps working on you. So there are areas where you are serving him that he develops more. In my life, he's developed more of that pastor shepherd's heart
mm-hmm.
than when I first began.
Sure.
You know, so there's all that in the gift of faith. So
all right, well,
tell you my list?
Yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear it. Number one
so
through five.
So here's the list.
What's
so
number
it came,
one?
Came, now maybe I answered it to blow.
Look, it's not. It was a free test.
The algorithms or whatever. But anyway, okay. So it's teaching.
Number one, teaching. Okay.
Yeah, and that you know, divine strength or ability to study, learn from scriptures to help other Christians in that area. Then faith, and then healing. The gift of healing is the divine strength or ability to act in faith and prayer, and that's in laying of hands for healing.
Mm.
That probably has to do with more of, since I've been here in the land of milk and honey, doing a lot of hospital visitations
mm-hmm.
and praying for the sick and helping the sick and so forth, that kind of thing, and praying for them, intercession in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that was
number three, healing.
Three, then giving.
Okay.
Giving divine strength, ability to produce.
Mm-hmm.
And giving tithes, offering, and then exhortation.
So okay.
So it was teaching. I'm trying to go by the colors on the thing. Teaching, exhortation, faith, giving, and healing.
Oh, healing was number five. Exhortation was number two?
Yeah, exhortation was number two.
Okay, exhortation. The difference between teaching and exhortation, the way that they have it listed on theirs, which again, this is kind of arbitrary, but, exhortation is the divine strength or ability to strengthen, comfort, or urge others to action through written or spoken word.
Yeah,
okay,
biblical truth. So that you know, that ties in with that pastor shepherd kind of thing.
Yeah, it's very similar to teaching. Teaching is the strength or ability to study and learn from the scriptures. and to bring understanding and depth to other Christians. So
yeah.
I don't know. Those are very similar.
Very similar. But, yeah. Kind of interesting. Ba-dum-ba-dum-bum.
Okay. All right. What did you guess for me? I'll tell you if you got any of them right.
Okay. Well, definitely administration.
Okay.
I would say discernment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I would say leadership, teaching, and I would, there's a lot there that, you know, service probably.
Okay.
Did I get any?
You got 3 out of 5.
Wow.
Much better.
Okay.
Than I did. Number one, administration.
Yeah.
The most boring of the gifts. How do they describe administration? The divine strength or ability to organize multiple tasks and groups of people. To accomplish these tasks. I think as the older I've gotten, the more I realize that I just like a spreadsheet and I'm fine with that. I like a checklist. I like being organized.
Yeah.
I like helping other people be organized.
I think it's great.
I know it's really useful. It's just like...
Well, you've encouraged me, like even this new year, you know, okay, we're going to get this to help me do my, you know, to-do list, task list.
Oh, yeah, I got a to-do list app. Fantastic.
Yeah, that app. And so that encouraged me. I said, maybe I should get back on this thing. Of doing an app thing. And so I found one too. So that encouraged me to get a little bit more administrative. So
yeah.
That's good.
Well, I should have got encouragement then or exhortation, whatever that one is.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. So administration was my number one.
Yeah.
My number two was teaching.
Yeah, great.
Which you also guessed.
Yep.
Okay, number three was something called craftsman, which
is not
the gift of craftsmanship is the ability to plan, build, work with your hands. I am not like a builder necessarily. My dad was a carpenter. I like to build things. I love putting furniture together and Legos and that kind of stuff. I like to cook, as we talked about.
Yeah, cook. I think that comes where that.
Or write songs, you know. So I think it's more of that creative.
Creative juice flowing.
Yeah, craftsman was number three. Number four was discernment.
Yeah, good.
Which you guessed. That was the third one you guessed. The gift of discernment is the divine strength or ability to identify falsehood, to distinguish between right and wrong motives. Spiritual forces at work.
Yeah,
I think that's something that that's a big part of my personality type. Another way to talk about it, I did this thing called the motivational gifts, which was spiritual gifts, but like what motivates you. And the one I got was, it's something called perceiver. And it's very much grounded in that discernment. It's like perceiving a situation, what's really going on, what do they say, but what do they really mean? Or like, now I'm gifted in that. That doesn't mean that I'm always right, of course.
Right.
But it means that I always think that I'm right. Because I very often am discerning correctly, but I have to really hold it in check because especially when I was younger, I could be so convinced that I knew how another person felt. And I didn't, you know, sometimes I can be wrong. Obviously everybody can. And so that discernment piece I found is a little tricky. You're trusting the Lord for discernment and guidance and, but you still have to be careful with calling something true or false, you know, calling something, here's what they said, here's what they meant. I'm gifted at understanding that sort of thing. The Lord helps me with that, but I have to not get ahead of myself and just think I'm always right.
Right. There is that ability to say, okay, I got to just pull it back. You know, I had a dear brother in the Lord over the years said, you know, God judges the hearts. He judges the motives and we're not to.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's where... That's discernment on the other side. We need discernment and allow the Holy Spirit to work in that situation. But I think he does give us that ability, that wisdom and insight, so we know how to administrate properly the next steps, you know.
Yeah.
That's good.
And the last one I got was mercy.
Oh,
the ability to feel empathy, to care for those who are hurting.
Yes.
I think people who only know me a little bit are usually surprised about that one because I don't necessarily display a lot of empathy, but I feel a lot of empathy for others. And I care a lot about people's stories and when they're hurting. Yeah. I care quite deeply. But usually if you don't know me, people who only know me a little bit or know me from the outside are surprised because they're like, wow, you don't really, your personality is not giving mercy, which is fine. But that's definitely something that I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's different styles.
That's
good. That's the only one we had in common, was teaching.
Yeah. Well, I think we are both merciful. I'm to the point of that, you know, and I've told people this, I would rather err on grace and mercy than judgment.
Yeah.
And so there is that, you know, that ability as the Lord leads. So, it was interesting. Yeah.
This is fun. This was a free test. I wouldn't put too much stock in it, but you know,
gifts test.com.
Yeah.
If
you want to do a free gift assessment.
Spiritual test.
But
on
just
it.
The ones you have to pay for are usually a little better, just to be clear. But
yeah,
all of them are good. You know, you can kind of be the only one I got that I knew I would for sure get and that I was bummed about was administration. But that's just because it's kind of boring, but it's very true. I am organized, and I can't help. And some people need help being organized. So
yes, I do.
It's good.
That's why you're with me. I need help.
Yeah, we're a good team.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, Pastor Christian, he comes alongside. He's got his reports done before anybody else, and man, he's on top of it. And that's great. And we need that.
1 Corinthians 12:4-14 and 27-31. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it, and God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. So that's a famous passage about gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 both talk about many parts in one body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul's kind of talking about the same thing in both sections where he's talking about this idea that the gifts are given to the body of Christ, and for the exhortation of the body. I remember learning that the first time that I heard that was really interesting. Like, God gave you this gift, not for you. He gave it for this other person at church.
Yeah.
He gave you the gift to build up the body.
Yeah.
So the gifts aren't given to you for you. They're given to you for someone else.
Yeah.
And it says, I think the way that NIV interpreted it, verse 7 there was, the Spirit is given for the common good.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea being that we're all gift and blessed in these different ways, but it's all by the same Spirit. Paul really drives that home, you know, that's it's the Holy Spirit who's doing this, the same Spirit, even though these people look pretty different and they serve pretty differently and they have a different strength. It's the same Spirit that's equipping them. The whole idea being like, you need to be unified. You need to be one. The Spirit, the gifts should be unifying the body.
Mm, yes. Building up one another. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is so good. And and it's interesting how he begins the passage. There's different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them, and different kinds of service, different kinds of working, so forth. Same Lord and the same God at work. And then he closes the passage, eagerly desire the greater gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so people get, you know, hung up on that. What's the greater gift?
Well, yeah, and he's even numbering them, right?
Yeah.
First, apostles. Then, second, prophets.
Yeah.
Third,
yeah.
Teachers.
Yeah.
It seems like there's an evaluation of them that, like, these would be the gift. I don't know if that's supposed to be. Now, some people would say that that's just first in order of how God did it, like first in order as opposed to first in like value, like apostles are the most valuable versus healers come in at number three or four.
And some Christian movements today, you know, they say, well, this is apostle so-and-so, and some don't embrace
that word apostle title, is tricky, isn't it?
That title, apostle, you know, and some view, well, really a true apostle is those who were actually alive during the life of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, and I experienced him. The Apostle Paul did experience Jesus on the road to Damascus. So there's that clarification there and qualification.
You're exactly right. There's different interpretations of what they mean and which ones are the greater gifts.
Yeah, which one of the greater gifts, you know. But I think the idea is that that you brought out, that, you know, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We are to rely upon the Holy Spirit, be one in the Lord, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Jesus even talked about that, and we were discussing that in our Wednesday Bible study, John 15, you know, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask whatever you will and it will be done for you. You know, the word of Christ dwelling in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're abiding in Christ, remaining in Christ, because Christ is remaining in the Father. He's abiding in the Father. So there's life in that, and there's unity. And Jesus said, I haven't left you as an orphan, abandoned. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, and He will guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer enables the believer to live for Jesus in this world. And through that is because of the different gifts that He gives you for the benefit of someone else.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And it's for unity. And then how often do we see the gifts dividing the body? There's whole denominations that really emphasize tongues and interpretation and prophecy and miracles. Yes. Yeah. And there's denominations that completely cut those things out.
Yeah.
And so the gifts of the Spirit then become a division instead of building up and unification.
And isn't that just like the enemy that wants to do that, just to come in to seek, to destroy and devour whom he can, cause division, us as the people of God, delighting in the goodness and the greatness of God and his giftings to the body for exhorting and encouraging others.
So much of it, it's like cultural and style. Growing up in the charismatic movement, I definitely felt when we talked about spiritual gifts a lot, and we mostly talked about the kinds that set the charismatic denominations apart, because they would emphasize speaking in tongues and interpretation.
Right.
They would emphasize prophetic words and words of knowledge and miracles, experiences, healing, right?
Yes.
Of the Holy Spirit, like these profound, but big, I would say, and like divisive, turns out, in the church gifts. There's other churches that I went to, though, at that same time, and denominations that really valued order, and they valued theology. Not to say that charismatic churches don't value theology, right? But there would be these dividing lines between God moves this way. No. That's some wild people getting worked up over something. God moves this way. God's got an order, and we're going to have our songs are all going to be at the same tempo, and we're going to use the hymn book.
Right.
Again, nothing wrong with the hymn book, but you see what I mean? You get stuck with the style a way.
We get hung up on words, you know, okay, that's liturgical or an order, and then that one's free-flowing.
Yeah.
That has to be Holy Spirit-led, or, I'm Holy Spirit planning, you know?
Exactly, there's some people who would, there's churches, there's times, and I've belonged to both of these churches, so there's times when I would have felt that, like, reading a prayer that somebody wrote, that's dead. It has to be alive. The Spirit has to be speaking.
That's
by the way, I think is a ridiculous way to think, because you can be full of the Spirit when you write a prayer. Do you know what I mean? I could read a prayer out of Scripture.
Absolutely.
How could that not be spiritually influenced?
Yeah.
And the other way around also, I think, is wrong. When you're pointing at people and they're getting filled with the Spirit and speaking, and you're saying they're just being carried away by the winds and you know, and they love to emphasize the passage where Paul is like, hey, don't let it get out of order, you know?
And they
look at that as like, we shouldn't speak in tongues because of
that's
that.
That's right. Yeah.
And you know, they don't operate in that gift, and so then they just label it as false.
I think what happens is then the people, those in authority in those different groups, you know, they look at it and they see the abuse or the misuse of the gifts, and there's that.
Sure.
And because of the misuse and the abuse, then they say, well, this is the only way to do that. And what happens, and that causes division. And then they come up with this theological construct that may not be biblical at all.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, saying,
but it's a true thing that every one of these gifts can be abused, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Giving can be abused. You can work people up to give, and it's not from the Holy Spirit. It's from the building fund that we need, you know?
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Leadership can be abused.
Yeah.
Teaching can be abused.
Absolutely.
It's true. All of them can be abused.
Well, we know that because the Word declares that Satan comes and he masquerades as an angel of light.
Mm.
So there is that abuse that is evident. You could say, well, then how do I know that I have a spiritual gift? And how do I know that I'm using the spiritual gift mm-hmm. in the right way.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've touched on it before a little bit. Well, am I doing this for my glory,
right.
me, myself, and I, to promote me, to promote how good I am? Am I doing that? We can see in the early church, Ananias and Sapphira, and that whole idea of the gift of giving,
sure.
they came across like, oh, we're great givers, and they held back some, and they lied to the Holy Spirit, and God took them out as an example to the church that we are to reverence Him above everything else, mm-hmm. and above our own egos, our own desires, our own delights. We're to be submissive to the Holy Spirit and serve Him, and serving others with our gift. That means I want the best for that other person more than me.
Right. For God's glory, yeah. and for serving others. That motivation, I think, is a really good litmus test. And I honestly think the last verse there, 1 Corinthians 12:31, is a key. It says, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And what comes right after this is 1 Corinthians 13, where it's faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love.
Yes,
and so if the Holy Spirit is cultivating that fruit, right? Love
yes.
in you.
Yes.
And that's what's motivating your exercising of the gift, then you're probably on the right track.
Yes.
And if you get off the right track, if you're bound by love, so love is this uniting thing, especially mm-hmm. in 1 Corinthians 13. It's about how you stay together,
yes.
right? More than how you be romantic and
right.
get flowers. It's about how do you stay together? How do you stay yeah. as one? It's through love.
Yeah.
And so if you do get off track with a gift, you have the community that you love and who loves you to keep you safe in,
yes.
in that, to make sure. And I've been a part of movements that are fantastic at that, you know? So
yeah.
they're operating in all of these gifts and healings and miracles and tongues, but also there's people in the room who, you know, somebody will interpret a tongue and there's somebody in that room who's like, I'm not sure that was right, you know? And another
right.
person is like, actually, I'm not sure that was right either. We need to reconsider that. But because there's this love between brothers and sisters in
yeah.
that room, then it's okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, absolutely. Yeah,
so I've
sure.
seen it in operation so that where it does edify the body and it does
yes.
build us up. And it
yes.
is, we are becoming more loving.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is, you know,
yeah.
the greatest gift that we're supposed to eagerly desire.
Yeah.
The love, but it also sets me free to desire these other gifts. You know, it's okay to desire God to use you
yes.
and to equip you.
Absolutely.
It actually, Scripture says we should.
Yes.
We should eagerly desire Him to bless us with gifts.
Yeah, and Paul said, you know, whatever you find yourself do, you do it as unto the Lord
yeah.
and the men, you know. So
Colossians,
whatever
yeah.
I do, I'm doing it for the Lord. So if I'm
mm-hmm.
sweeping a hallway or cleaning a toilet, that's significant. I'm doing it to the Lord.
Absolutely.
You know, if I'm reading a prayer out loud in a Bible study, I'm doing it for the Lord.
Absolutely.
Bring honor and
yeah.
praise to Him.
There was a Methodist
yeah.
preacher. He was the dad of one of Ashley's friends, and he read a prayer at our wedding.
Mm.
And it was one of the best prayers ever. We had two guys pray. We had
yeah.
one guy pray in Spanish.
Oh, cool.
He didn't write anything down. He was a charismatic guy.
Yeah.
And
okay.
it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was spirit filled.
Yeah.
But the Methodist guy he's Episcopalian, not Methodist.
Okay.
But when he read the prayer,
yes.
it was just as beautiful and moving. He was crying as he read it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't say that the Holy Spirit wasn't moving
no,
through that.
It was there.
Both of those
Absolute,
two different kinds of
absolutely.
Prayers.
Absolutely.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited about going through and talking about the different spiritual gifts, because as people are listening, I'm hopeful that they'll desire God to
yes.
use them in these
yes.
different ways. Recognize both how you're wired, which is totally valid and from
that
the Lord,
yep.
and also what opportunities He puts in front of you
yeah.
to do something with a gift.
Yeah.
And if it's binding us together in unity, if it's building up the body,
amen.
Right, and helping
yep.
us to love each other better,
yes.
then we're living out the Scripture that Paul outlines.
Yes.
You know? This is what we're supposed to do.
Yes.
We're supposed to love each other through the exercise of these gifts.
Yes.
And exercise the gifts in a space where so much love is present that we're not worried about if
right.
it goes wrong, you
right.
know, because we're trusting the body
we're,
to keep
we're
us on track.
We're trusting the body, and we're journeying this life of faith together, and we're allowing the Holy Spirit to cultivate Christ-likeness in each of us
mm-hmm.
to bring honor and praise to Him. It's a beautiful opportunity. And sometimes in the fellowship, you know, your gift, you may say, well, God's wired me this way, and I believe this is my spiritual gift, and I want to build up the body of Christ, but I don't see any avenue. Well, then come and talk to us about
yeah.
that. Mm-hmm. You know, and through prayer and intercession, the gift of discernment, we're going to discover, okay, God, is this a way for us to march, to honor you, to build up the kingdom, to edify one another?
Thanks for listening to this episode of the ZACPod. All of our content is created in-house by the ZAC Media Team. To learn more about the ministries of our church, follow us on Instagram or Facebook, and subscribe to our newsletter at zaccma.org. If you like what we're doing, please share the podcast with a friend and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.